We're back in Proverbs chapter 15 today. Hope you got your little notebook off to the side so that you can annotate any references that you should memorize and use to make yourself wiser in how you deal with life situations, or perhaps as a resource annotation for somebody else that you know nearby in your sphere of influence that needs to memorize it to help them fight some of the issues going on in their own life. That's what this book of Proverbs is for. It's a resource package. A lot of repeated ideas, but that is to help combat even better. The more we think about a principle, the more we memorize about that principle, the more likely we'll put that principle into practice. Proverbs 15:2. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. So we've got this contrast between wise people who talk about wise things. They promote wise things. They speak the things of God because, well, part of it is that's their response to any situation in their own life, but they also recommend it to other people. And that's good. We should want the wisdom of God. But on the other hand, foolish people who are not deficient in intellect necessarily. There's a lot of smart fools out there. Biblical foolishness is all about having the attitude, there's no one in charge of me but me. The quote I have been giving you, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Meaning, there is no ultimate authority. I'm the only authority in my life. And so the people who take that attitude will often speak in that way, and it's just foolishness. And the moment we hear somebody say that I recognize no authority but my own, I don't know if you roll your eyes, but I tend to, because I know that person's got issues, and they're going to run into problems if they don't repent. Verse 3, the eyes of he who is are in every place. There's a fancy Latin term for this, omniscience. God knows everything. He sees everything. Keeping watch on the evil and the good. In other passages, we're reminded that he's not just simply keeping track of what good people and bad people are doing, but he will make them all give an account for it. Righteous people are going to be rewarded for doing things the right way. Evil people, not so much. They will be rewarded in accordance with their sins, if they don't repent, which is what we all want. Verse number 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. We are taught as believers that we're supposed to say things to build other people up. Now, we're not talking about puffing them up in the sense of schmoozing them. We're talking about helping them reach their full potential. Sometimes that has some tough love elements to it. But we need to sometimes temper exactly how we talk to people. Some people are much more sensitive. And I've been reminded of this from time to time because sometimes I'm a black and white thinker and a black and white speaker. And so I need to be reminded every once in a while, not everybody is ready for the unvarnished truth. Sometimes it needs to be more gentle. And so that would be a tree of life. It helps them grow in relationship with God. But this perverseness thing, perverse is deceitful, it is twisted, it's not looking out for what's best for the other person. that ends up breaking people. It doesn't build them up, it tears them down, and that's not good. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. All of us do things in life that are not the best choice. And if we don't self-evaluate, sometimes we get chided for what we did. We get rebuked. And if we are wise, we understand that what's being said to us is for our own benefit. That's prudence, to pay attention to people trying to help us out. But foolish people, the self-centered ones that don't think that anybody can tell them what to do, that's not going to end well. And it's really bad to see it in a minor child at home. This foolish child saying, you're not the boss of me. You can't tell me what to do. I don't have to follow your rules. I don't have to adopt your morality. Wow, that's tough. That's a tough response to somebody who gave birth to you and wants what's best for you. Verse 6, in the house of the righteous, there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. This is another one of those ones, I warn you, is kind of rule of thumb for the time period of Solomon, that if you did things God's way in the kingdom of Israel, you were blessed. If you rejected doing things God's way, you ended up coming under the curse. And so that's how Solomon is trying to warn his sons. You want to be blessed, so stick with righteous choices, because otherwise you'll end up with God's judgment. Verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of the fools. So communication is a normal part of human existence. And so when we pass on wisdom from God to other people, that's good. That's what we're supposed to be doing, trying to help people out. It's a form of beneficial education. But the hearts of fools, where they make their choices to be foolish, they're not going to spread knowledge. They're going to spread their own selfish foolishness. Not a good sort of situation. Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to he who is, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. So these guys are living in a time where Solomon's just had the temple built. It is the big monster replacement for the tabernacle. It's a place of worship for the Israelis and anybody else in the entire world that wants to come and approach the Creator God. They can bring sacrifices, not just simply sin sacrifices, but they can bring fellowship sacrifices, free will offerings. And because that's such a normal, natural thing, Solomon makes reference to it. But he notices and points it out to his readers. There are wicked people that go through the motions of offering sacrifice. But God is made sick by their falseness, by the fact that their heart is not following their motions. And unfortunately, there are people who go to church, who proclaim their Christianity in the public realm, that their hearts are far from him. And honestly, that's going to make God sick, and I hope none of us fall into that category. Instead, we want to be the part of this second idea that the prayer of upright people is always acceptable to God. It doesn't matter where you're at. God hears the prayers of his righteous people. And that's the relationship we want to have. Verse 9, the way of the wicked is an abomination to he who is, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. So you can hear the imagery here about a pathway, the way, which this is another one of the verses that probably contributes to the early Hebrew name for the church, which was the way. The right way is God's way. So the way of the wicked, that's not good. Makes God sick if you're on that path. But the way of the righteous people who are like looking for the way, who are pursuing being on that straight and narrow, God is all about that. He loves them. He is committed to them. Verse 10. There is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. So if you blow off God's word, God's way, things are not going to go well. God might even discipline you over that. But if you blow off God's discipline, there is no other hope. I mean, if you tell him, you're not the boss of me, you can't tell me what to do, you can't force me to do things your way, then that's going to have a bad end. I often point out that it's not so much that God sends people to hell. It is that hell is the place where people end up of their own free will when they reject being in God's presence. Verse number 11. Sheol, which is the place of the dead in Hebrew, the unseen place, and Abaddon, which is, in some contexts, it seems to be a synonym for Sheol. It's the place of the unseen dead. But when they're used together, it seems to have in mind the place where the evil unseen dead are located. In the New Testament, this name is given to the angel, the wicked angel that takes a whole bunch of the demonic force out and causes trouble, the angel Abaddon in the book of Revelation. So it's a very negative idea in that context. So what's this verse about? Sheol and Abaddon, both unseen places, lie open before he who is. So they're not sealed up. He can see right down into him. He knows who's in Sheol. He knows who's in Abaddon. So if he knows that, how much more the hearts of the children of man? So if God knows the people who are already dead, where they're at, what they're doing, then you can be guaranteed that he knows where all the living people are and what they're thinking. Verse 12. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. So scoffer is a synonym for fool, somebody that doesn't think they have to follow God's rules, and they don't believe that anybody can call them down for not following those rules. So he's not going to go out and seek advice from somebody because he's already made his mind up. Nobody's the boss of me. I get to choose what I get to choose. And, well, if somebody tries to tell them differently, they're not going to listen. And that's why we need to pray for fools, because something has to happen to snap them out of that self-centeredness. Verse 13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, which is generically true. But by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. So we can be all smiley because good things are in our hearts. We're really happy about certain situations. But every once in a while, we end up with heartbreak and sorrow, and it can really bring us down and crush our spirit. And we need to pray for people that are in that sort of stage of life, that God can renew in them a right spirit and a joy of salvation. Verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feed on folly. So people who already value knowledge, who already value God's wisdom, then they're going to seek more of it. They're going to have Bible studies. They're going to come to Sunday worship. They're going to come to Sunday school. They're going to try to find more and more God information. They're going to do a lot of Bible reading on their own because they've made the choice that that's important. Unfortunately, there are some people that are bought into their own self-centeredness, that the only thing they'll eat, you know, metaphorically speaking, is more of the same, more foolishness. And that's not a good diet. That's going to end up repeating on them, bringing judgment. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. So people who made bad choices very often end up having bad repercussions from that. They just go on and on and on and on. But sometimes the cheerful of heart, the ones that are trying to follow things God's way, and so they're being blessed, that's just continual happiness. It reminds me of Paul saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, it's no big deal. I'm going to say it again. Rejoice! He is representing at that point some Old Testament teaching that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so really, even if we're having some rough things on the outside, if we've got joy, 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 joy down in our heart, then that is like being at a feast. Good. Verse 16. Listen to this contrast. Better is a little, possession-wise, wealth-wise, with the fear of he who is. Because what's the fear of he who is the beginning of? You're spot on. Wisdom and knowledge. So better is a little with the fear of he who is than great treasure and trouble with it. So you can be filthy rich, but have a lot of problems. What's better is to have the fear of the Lord, have his wisdom, even if you don't have much else. Verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is. He's basically talking about a salad. Better is a salad where there's love, genuine love, the consideration and concern for the people around you, than a fatted ox and hatred with it. Fatted ox, think steak dinner and all the trimmings. Which would you rather sit at the table for? A salad with your beloved or a steak dinner with somebody that really gets on your nerves, somebody that really hates you and is going to say nothing but nasty things the whole time you're eating? No steak dinner is worth that. Verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. We'll see this principle repeated over and over again, that none of us should ever allow our tempers to blow up. Paul says, be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. So make sure you don't let anger run your life. One of the fruits of the Spirit is this idea of a long temper. Literally, it means a long time before you blow. Long time before you blow up. And so the Proverbs repeats this idea. Don't fly off the handle. Chill yourself. Slow down. Count to 10. Think about it. Don't open your mouth out of anger. Just wait a moment before you say anything. Very wise stuff. Too many people today pop off way too quick. Verse 19. The way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns. They would sometimes have thorns along the edge of their fields. It was sometimes an animal control device. But some of those thorn hedges were also along the path. So the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. So a lazy person is going to end up with not such a pleasant life because people are going to be constantly poking them to try to get them to work. You know, they used to have something, I'm sure they still have it in some context, used to have something called an animal goad. It was a stick with a sharp point on it. They used to reinforce that sharp point with some sort of metal point. And the idea of the goad was, if the animal wasn't doing what you wanted it to do, you'd poke it to make it do it. Well, here in this case, the sluggard, the lazy guy, is getting poked by the thorns along the side of the path because he's being lazy. In contrast to that, the path of the upright is a level highway. It's a superhighway because upright people, righteous people, don't need to be constantly hounded into doing the right thing. They get on that big, wide-open road and they open it up, heading for their destination of seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Verse number 20. The wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. We've seen this formula before, and I've reminded you at the time. This book is being compiled by a father for his son and sons. So it's very masculine-oriented. But the principles transcend gender. So you could flip the gender assignments here just for teaching purposes and say this. A wise daughter makes a glad mother, but a foolish daughter despises her dad. Because the principle is, kids, particularly adolescents, who embrace the wisdom of God, the fear of the Lord and the wisdom that comes from that, they make parents happy. But it breaks our hearts when we see our kids deviate from that, make bad choices. Verse 21. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. So in this weird thing, foolish people think it's fun to do self-centered, stupid things. And the reason they think it's fun is because it's all about them. But a wise person, and we're talking about wise in God's way, they keep their eyes on the prize. They look straight ahead. They follow the straight and narrow because they want to do things God's way. And that's the appropriate one. And they'll find it. I mean, they'll find what they are seeking for. An eternal relationship with God and with God's people. Verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. No person is an island. All of us are living with everyone else around us. And it would behoove us, it would be wise for us, before we engage in certain activities, to check in with other people, especially wiser people than ourselves, or to check in with people that have been through similar situations to get their perspective. Because when we try to go it alone and only do things to our own benefit, that's foolish, and it's going to get us into trouble, and sometimes things are going to blow up. The more input we can get from wise people, the more likely we are to succeed in the things we want to do. Very wise advice for younger people, by the way. Verse 23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. So a good answer brings happiness. An answer at just the right moment. Wow, that is helpful. And I'm sure all of us have experienced that, where we were not sure what to do, and then suddenly someone comes into the picture, maybe we ask them for advice, and they tell us just the right thing. Boom, everything works out. How great is that? Verse 24 is, I think, where we'll end today. The path of life leads upward for the prudent. So life is like a road, and it's moving ever toward God. And that's good for the prudent person. The prudent person is a person who's looking for God's wisdom. But what's the opposite of that? Well, I mean, what's being avoided? That he may turn away from Sheol beneath. Sheol is the place of unseen spirits. It's the place of death. And this is a reminder that doing things God's way often preserves and extends our lives. That's a good path to be on. Mark your place right there. We'll get back into the Word next time.